Well, we're going to think about eternal perspectives and what true and false security is. Perspective. What is it? Well, it's a particular way of considering something. It can be an attitude, a frame of mind, an outlook, your approach to things, or a point of view. Here's some perspective pictures. Now, what is going on there? I think that man's profoundly strong, but he doesn't seem to be struggling very much, does he? I think if we were able to pull out from the picture a bit, we might understand what's going on. Here's another strange one. I think the tree kind of gives it away. Pictures lie to us to give us an impression. In this picture, the square tiles are not square. The lines that they make going into the distance are not parallel. Yet that's the illusion, isn't it? These pictures give a perspective and try to tell us something, sometimes the wrong thing. Let's think now about possessions. Some seek to impress others by what they possess, to alter the perspective of those they meet. Now, here's a story, and it is a story. I'm sure it's not true, but it's a good illustration. A Texas farmer was touring England, and he happened to meet an English farmer and asked him, "What size farm do you have?" The Englishman proudly announced, 35 acres. 35 acres, the Texan said. "Why, I can get in my truck at 8 a.m. and start driving, and at noon I am still on my farm. I can eat lunch and start driving again, and at 5 p.m. I am still going round my farm." "Ah, yes," the Englishman farmer nodded in understanding. "I had a car like that once." They both had different perspectives on the land they had. And I suppose we're going to discover this morning, what is your perspective? What is it that makes you secure? We're going to have a reading now from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 34, and Judy's going to come up and read it. Thank you.
Okay. You'll find the passage in the Bethany Bible on page 1044. Page 1044, and reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 34. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, Not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, and a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Thank you. Money is useful, but it can be a problem. Some people that have a lot of money want more. Some work all the hours they can have to gain a better standard of living, but miss out on life. We might think that if we had this or that, then things would be better. We might say, if I won the lottery, things would be better. Some are wise with the money that they have, and some lottery winners just fritter away all their winnings until they're bankrupt. Our focus shouldn't be on possessions or money. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. Teachers of the law were often asked to mediate between people when in civil disputes and where money was concerned. And someone said to Jesus, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Not a mediation really, but more of a demand. Was this man focused on what was right, or was he wanting money and property for his own pleasure? Jesus, as he often did, took this opportunity to teach and go to the heart of the issue. Now, I used to have a boss that would give a speech when someone was leaving. And when he spoke, the people I worked with would be counting. I used to wonder what they were counting. At the end of the speech, they would compare notes and see how many I's had occurred in the speech. I think I remember that there were about 17 at one time. He's very much for self-promotion. Let's just read again through Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. And Jesus told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have to have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.'" Eat, drink, and be merry. This should be a part of a celebration. And celebrating isn't wrong. But what was this man celebrating? He was celebrating his self-sufficiency. He felt secure in his own wealth. I, or I'll, comes up about 6 times in this one, in the story of the rich man. His focus was on himself only, and no one else, not even God. He didn't think he had to worry about anything. But when death comes, all that the rich man worked for would be of no use to him. This is why the Bible tells us to have treasure in heaven. To put it in modern terms, invest in something that lasts. In this case, something that lasts forever. This story is an illustration to help us to have an eternal viewpoint on the life we have. Having an abundance of anything is not wrong. But what are you going to do with it? Do you have treasure in heaven? Then Jesus goes on to teach about money and possessions. In verses 22 to 34, Jesus says that we should not worry about everyday life, whether we have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more important than food, and our bodies more important than clothing. Jesus tells his disciples to consider the ravens. Unlike human beings, they do not sow grain, nor do they reap it. They don't store food, yet they have enough to eat. We are told that God cares for them. But we are more valuable than birds. God cares for the birds. He also cares even more for us. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 31, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." At that time, two sparrows could be bought with a copper coin. And this was as food for poor people. One copper coin was less than an hour's wages, so they were of little value in their terms. But God knows the life of the sparrow and is there when they fall and die. If we are worth more than many sparrows, how much does God care for us? And we look at how much God cares for us a bit later. Back to Luke chapter 12, verse 27. Jesus tells his disciples to look at the wild flowers. They don't work in the way that we work, yet they are beautiful to look at. It only lasts for a little time. This shows how God cares for the little things and how that he cares for us even more. We just have to trust God. In verse 29, Jesus says that you shouldn't set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Food is good for you, but it shouldn't be what occupies your mind all the time. We should do and think about what God wants and trust him to help us. We're told to not worry or be afraid. Worry won't even extend our lives. It's more likely to shorten it. It is foolish to prioritize the accumulation of temporary things when God wants us to have an inheritance in his eternal kingdom. We shouldn't place our heart's desire on accumulating earthly things that will be destroyed. Nor should we be anxious about getting what we need while we are here. God knows what we need, and he will provide. Our lives are more valuable than worrying over food and clothing. We have the privilege of seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. If we prioritize this eternal treasure, we shouldn't be afraid of the needs we have here on earth. In verse 31, we're told to seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. This is the kind of security that we need, and we get it by trusting in God, in Jesus. Jesus will save us from our sin and the punishment for sin if we trust in him to do this. If we have an eternal perspective and an eternal way of looking at things, then perhaps we can be like the three friends of Daniel mentioned in the Old Testament. They were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, an ancient king of that time had set up a gold image of himself, which everyone of all the nations that he ruled were to worship every time the band played. And if they didn't, then they were to be thrown into a blazing furnace. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who believed in the one true God, would not worship this image. This king had set up this image and asked them why they would not bow down. For he said that no God could rescue them if they didn't obey him. Their response is remarkable. And they say in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Well, these three had great confidence in God. Even if things didn't turn out in the way they might expect it to, they would continue to trust in God. They were rescued, but within the blazing furnace. We may not have a fiery furnace to deal with, but we do all have problems that at times can overwhelm us. We should take our problems to the Lord, as King David did when he was overwhelmed. Psalm 61 verse 2, which he wrote, "From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." David says that his heart grows faint, but he asks God to lead him to a high rock of safety. God has been his place of safety before, and he believes that God will keep him safe again. What is our perspective? How do we look at what's happening to us and the world? Do we have an eternal perspective by trusting in Jesus, trusting him with our lives, trusting him to save us, and doing the things he wants us to do? Do we have eternal security? And is what we do for God our main focus, our treasure? There's an author called Jackie Pullinger who wrote Chasing the Dragon, and she gave a viewpoint, her perspective, in an interview. And this is what she said. Apparently she's a very impatient person too. "This is a very short life," she said, "and eternal life is forever. We're going to feel stupid for eternity if we wasted this one. We have to take the view of eternity, that is, that we are going to live forever with Jesus if we belong to him." And this is how Christians should think, to make the most of every opportunity. I'll just summarise now what we've been looking at, and what we've heard. Jesus is teaching his disciples about priorities in the kingdom of God. This comes in response to a man angry that his brother will not divide the family inheritance as he sees fit. This man covets what his brother has and desires to accumulate wealth. To point out the futility of such an attitude, Jesus tells a parable of a man who brings in a great harvest and builds barns to store it, but then dies. His wealth will do him no good when he is dead. Both the brother and the fictional wealthy farmer wanted to lay up treasure on earth, but were not rich toward God. They should have sought God's kingdom first. Possessions can be lost through theft or destruction, and they will certainly be forfeit at the death of the owner. It is foolish to prioritize the accumulation of temporary objects when God wants to give us an inheritance in his eternal kingdom. We should not place our heart's desire on accumulating earthly things that will be destroyed, nor should we be anxious about getting what we need while we're here. God knows what we need, and he will provide. Our lives are more valuable than worrying over food and clothing. We have the privilege of seeking God's kingdom. If we prioritize this eternal treasure, we won't be afraid of the needs of earth. So what should be the advice to those who aren't Christians? It should be this. Turn to Jesus today, confessing your sin to him, and trust him for your salvation. For as it says in verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure? Do we have true security? Is our desire to be with Jesus? For he cares so much that he died for us. Where is our treasure?